Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Well, I remember my mom telling me about her experience with this passage, because usually my grandfather would correct her and discipline her by reading these verses, and then he would command her to read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and she would just skip to verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. We shouldn't use this passage this way at all. But being submitted to each other. I loved science when I was in school age. One of my favorite procedures was observing things using a microscope. It was exciting because I could magnify something to see its details. And while I was in high school, I studied to be a technician on metallurgy. And we used to research on objects made of steel using a microscope as well. We could clearly see what made it soldered steel strong and others weak. The microscope would show the configuration and nature of the particles that were present in the piece of metal. Thus, when we magnify objects, we can have a better understanding of their nature and implications from their properties. Similarly, as part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul mentioned a continuous action in Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And Paul took this sentence and put it on a microscope to magnify it so that we may understand the implied details of this passage. First, we saw the implications of being submitted to one another in marriage. Wives must be submissive to their husbands as to the Lord, and husbands must love their respective wives as well as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to present her perfect before himself. And now, in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, we will turn the sample a little bit in the microscope of Christian family and see another aspect of being submitted to one another in the relationship between children and parents. In few words, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 teaches us that the children's duty is to obey their parents in the Lord, and the parents' duty is to raise up their children with balance between discipline and admonition of the Lord. First, this is my subject today. Children's role, obedience in the Lord, verses 1 through 3. There is a sad phenomenon in our modern society. It is the children's dictatorship. As many psychologists tell parents to allow their children to externalize their feelings, many children are out of control, governing their parents' schedule. I can't count how many times I saw Christian parents changing their plans to satisfy their children's requirements. It was not because one of their children was sick. It's not because of that. But because children were compelling their parents to change their schedule, their agenda. The main problem about families where children control their parents' agenda is that those children were not trained to obey their parents according to the biblical model. Many parents presuppose that our children are pure and innocent. However, this is not what the Bible tells us. First, the Bible tells us that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Genesis 8:21. In Psalm 51:5, David wrote, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." It doesn't mean that your mother was doing something wrong when you were conceived. No, no. But it means that you are sinner since your conception. And the book of Proverbs is clear by saying that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22:15. That's why Proverbs 29:15 says that a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Since the fall, the natural impulse of any child is to walk on his or her own way, as well as Adam and Eve looked for autonomy when they ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So they were looking for autonomy, so they disobeyed the Lord. And children many times look for autonomy as well, and they disobey their parents, they dishonor their parents. This is our inclination. We don't need to teach our children to throw a tantrum. We don't need to tell them how to protest vigorously when their will is contradicted. Our children have their own way or inclination. And this way or inclination is sinful. I know that this is hard, but this is true. Proverbs 22:6 has been seen as a promise, but it is most likely a warning. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It says this. And people believe that this is a promise. So teach our children since the beginning. Yeah, that's true. If you teach our children since the beginning, when that child gets older, it will keep following the right way. But this verse was not properly translated. The Hebrew word "peh" doesn't mean he should go, as translated by almost all versions, but as he wishes. As he wishes. Thus Solomon is saying, train up a child in the way as he wishes, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this is a warning. Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, his way will not naturally be the best. They don't know what is the best clothing. They don't know what is the best toy. They don't know. They need parents to tell them, play with this. You must wear this clothing today because it's too cold. It's too warm outside. They don't know what is the best for them. They don't know what they should eat. They need parents to tell them, eat this because this is good for your health. I don't like it. I know, but it's just the flavor is just from here to here. And then it will be good for your body. They don't know what's best for them. But parents know. So the Bible is telling us that we must raise up our children, teaching them, not according to their will. Otherwise, they will remain with their own wishes in the future. If parents leave their children alone without correction, they will be accustomed to live according to their own inclination. This is a tragedy, because it's hard to change a way of living after many years being accustomed in one specific way. It's hard, but not impossible, because all things are possible to God, but it's hard. Because children are sinners and they have their own way of living that not necessarily will be good, Paul commanded them, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 1. The Greek imperative hypakouo is suggestive. It means to hear under, as subordinate. Children are commanded to hear their parents as someone who is under their authority, not above. They are not above their parents. And this is the problem today. Many children are above their parents. They will tell their parents what to do. There's no problem if you give a choice to your children sometimes. That's no problem if it's a peaceful thing. No problem. When we were choosing the name for Laura, we had two choices, Alice or Laura. And then we asked Pedro, what do you think, Pedro? And then he was just 4 years old. And then he said, I think Laura or Laura. And then I said, okay, I'll pick your suggestion. That's fine. It's beautiful, you know, giving opportunity to our children. But they cannot decide all things. They cannot command their parents, do this way, I want this way, and determine things like that. No, this is unbiblical. So children are under their parents' words, not above what is being said. Its direct implication is taking heed and obeying. So when the Bible tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, this word obey means that they will hear their parents, and because they will hear, they will take heed of what their parents are saying, they will obey them. The expression in the Lord means pleasing the Lord as the ultimate goal in regard to obeying parents. An important information to understand this passage is that these words are addressed to believers in Ephesus. Thus, Paul is not talking about children whose parents or one of them is an unbeliever. He's not talking about this kind of relationship here. As Paul is magnifying the idea of submitting to one another in the fear of God, it wouldn't include unbelievers, obviously, because they don't fear God. St. Clair Ferguson wrote the following about the sentence in the Lord. Everything is to be seen within the context of our loving fellowship together with the Lord Jesus Christ. In that fellowship, we have different roles. That of children is to learn to obey the Heavenly Father by obeying their earthly fathers. God trains us to respond to His fatherhood, which we cannot see, by responding to earthly fatherhood, which we can see. He thinks of everything as He trains us to serve Him in the future. End of quotation. When we obey our parents, we're being trained to obey the Lord, the Father of light. The reason children must obey their earthly fathers in the Lord is that they have no maturity in themselves to develop a strong relationship with the Lord. Their parents stand in between the children and the Lord. They work like mediators. Thus, obeying their parents is the same as obeying God. This is one of the most important things you must take heed, children. When you obey your parents, you are obeying God. That's why it's so serious in God's sight. Because disobeying parents is the same as disobeying God, dishonoring Him. The Lord conferred authority to the parents so that they may take care of their children's lives as instruments of God's providence. So your parents are instruments of God's providence in your life. So God is taking care of you through your parents. The logic is very simple. When children obey their parents, they obey and please God. When they disobey, they displease and disobey the Lord Himself. And beyond everything was said, Paul wrote that the action of obeying parents is right. Right here is a translation of dikaios that refers to what is correct, just, and righteous. It is a reference to things that are exactly as they should be. Obeying parents is right, not because we feel that it's right. People today say things like, I feel this and that. Oh, I think that is true because I feel that is true. No, no. We understand that this is right, not because we feel something about it or because of a cultural or national aspect, but because the Lord said so. That's why it's right. Because the Lord said it's right. God commands because He can. He is God. And if you're wise, just obey, because it's right. The fifth commandment represents the will of God concerning children and their parents, and show what is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verses 2 and 3. According to John MacArthur, to honor means, quote, means to value highly, to hold in the highest regard and respect, end of quotation. Usually this is easier when children are young because they consider their parents strong, smart, and wise. With time, they notice that their parents are not as strong, smart, and wise as they thought. And then, because children are so prone to sin, they start criticizing their parents. This behavior can cause children to dishonor their parents. I'm not saying that children cannot have a different mindset comparing to their parents. They can disagree with their parents regarding an idea or preference, but they must do it respectfully because they have their own personality. But they must be respectful when they disagree with something. When a child disagrees with a command by one of his parents, it doesn't mean that he is allowed to disobey. It's not said in the Bible that children must obey their parents only if they agree with their parents. The Bible doesn't say so. Obey your parents, and that's it, period. The commandment has a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So honoring parents is not the only condition to live long life on earth, but it's very important, really important. I heard stories of believing children that honored their parents but died while still young. My friend's son died of cancer when he was only 18 years old in Brazil. And they prayed so much, but the Lord decided to just take him home. And he was a good son. I was their pastor in Brazil. He was really a good guy, but the Lord just took him. Despite many prayers, the Lord took him. And I also remember the story of Isaac Weldeyesus. He is a pastor in the OPC in Georgia. And he lost his son, who was only 21 years old, in a car accident. And he always honored his parents. But he died when he was still young. These examples I gave are exceptions. The rule is that rebellious children expose themselves to many dangers. Many, in fact, die being young because they disobeyed and dishonored their parents. When a child dishonors his parents, he goes out of the sphere of protection of his parents. This is the way of autonomy. The way of autonomy looks stimulating, exciting, but it is a way of disappointment, slavery, and death. A child disobeyed his mother, and this child ran to the street while disobeying his mother and was killed immediately after being hit by a car. That's why I say, sometimes our parents just call us so-and-so, and then we need to look quickly and obey because they saw any problem, a danger. So children must obey their parents immediately. Sometimes when children want reasons to obey, that will be too late. So understand this. When your parents call you, respond immediately because they can be protecting you from any immediate danger or sudden danger. Children, do not put yourselves as superior to your parents. God established boundaries of authority through the fifth commandment. When God gave this commandment to his people, he was submitting children to the authority of their parents. That's why Paul is magnifying verse 21, saying, submit to one another in the fear of God. So obeying our parents is submitting to one another, submitting yourselves to them, because the Lord established this pattern. The Larger Catechism of Westminster calls this the duties of superiors and the inferiors. The question 127 is about the commandment to honor parents and says, what is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? And the answer is as follows. The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels. Obviously, if a parent commands a child to lie, for example, this is unlawful. And it would be awful that a Christian parent would command his son or daughter to do something like this. But anyway, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to defense and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks and the nature of their places. This is talking about other kinds of hierarchy in general. For example, are you walking the street and then the police officer calls you to ask you something? So be obedient and respect, because he is an authority. We must be respectful about the president. I'm not obliged to agree with anything, but we are not supposed to be harsh and to curse him, but pray for him. By keeping reading this, I would say, bearing with their infirmities and covering them in love, that so they may be an honor to them and to their government. Now I will address those who are children. Do you have your parents in high esteem? Do you regard their commands, words, and motives as serious things? Do you pray for them? Do you pray for your parents? This is required by the fifth commandment. Usually we think that parents must pray for their children, but children must pray for their parents as well. This is the will of God. So teach your children from the beginning to pray for their parents. Have you ever given thanks to your parents? Do you imitate? I say this because when children just say, thank you, Dad, thank you, Mom, that's so refreshing. That's so refreshing. Praise the Lord, my children are thankful. And it's always refreshing when they say thank you. For simple things and for great things, they always say thank you. It's so refreshing. I encourage you, children, do this. Be thankful to your parents. Do you imitate your parents in those things they are right? Do you follow their examples? The honor which children owe to their parents includes willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels. Then I ask, do you obey your parents? Do you obey your parents with goodwill? Because many children obey their parents after complaining a lot. You're not supposed to complain about a command you receive from your parents. You just must obey. And understand this. This is part of our sinful nature, to complain about commands we receive from our parents. But you need to fight against your own sinful nature. Obey your parents without complaining. Obey them with a good will. Yes, Mom, immediately. Yes, Dad, immediately. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3:20. It's not only pleasing to your parents, it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Do not reject the correction that comes from your parents. Proverbs 3:11 through 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." The point here is about the correction that comes from the Lord. However, the last sentence shows that it is natural that a father who loves his child would correct him. If you are prone to reject your parents' correction, think of this. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. This is in the Bible. Proverbs 12:1. If you get upset when your parents rebuke you, listen to this. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Would you like to be wise? Take heed to the correction your parents offer to you. If your parents correct you, they are giving you a sign that they love you and want you to mold your character according to God's standards. They are perfecting you. If they discipline you, it is a sign that they are interested in making you a better person. Proverbs also says, "He who spares his rod hates his son." It's the opposite. People say, "I don't spank my child because I love my child." If you don't correct your child, you hate your child. This is what the Bible is saying. If you love your child, you're going to hate when necessary. So the Bible tells us, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Proverbs 13:24. When I was a boy, I couldn't understand my mother. Many times when she had to spank me, she said, "Spank you hurts me more than you." Then I said to myself, "What? She hits me with a stick, and how could this hurt her?" It hurts me. It was my understanding. But now I understand what my mother said. When parents spank their children, they hurt because it's evident that their children are sinners. That's why hurt our souls. Knowing and admitting that our children are sinners. We love our children and we would do whatever we can to prevent them from any suffering. I would do anything to prevent my children from any suffering. When we have to spank them, we feel bad. The Lord doesn't feel good or happy when He's punishing and chastising His people. He does this with sadness in His heart, but He does this because this is the best for us. So we feel bad, and the only reason we discipline our children is that we know that they will understand that sin brings harmful consequences. They will mold their will according to the model revealed by God in His laws. They will be pleasurable children of God. If you discipline your children, you deliver them from hell. They will be instruments of God's grace. This is in the Bible. Know that your thankfulness will be an eloquent demonstration of love. If your parents give you anything, say thank you. If they teach you, receive their teaching willingly. Pursue the example of Jesus, who was a respectful son. He took seriously the teachings of Scripture since his youth. And the Bible tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52. So be wise. Not only know that the will of the Lord is that you obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your parents in fact and in truth. So knowing that you must obey your parents, knowledge, wisdom is when you put this into practice. So obey your parents, honor them. accept the protection they offer. Your parents always look after you. If they say, don't go to that place or don't walk with those people, it doesn't mean that they are tyrants. They have a great responsibility before God, before you, because of you. They want to protect you against bad companies in dangerous places. They are protecting you. They are protecting your health. They know what is best for you. Young people generally don't know easily what consequences they could face due to their choices. However, their parents can foresee the danger, thus accept their conditions and protection. They are instruments of the Lord for your good. Keep this in your heart. My son, Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live in my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart, says the word of God. May the Lord bless you and encourage you to be obedient to your parents daily. Amen.